The spending bill for the rest of fiscal 2015, except for the Homeland Security Department, of course, is on President Obama's desk now. Congress was supposed to be gone by Monday afternoon, the 15th, but the Senate's still in session, and they might be here for a while. David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call and writes the Hawkins Here blog. He is following the confirmation parade the Senate is on. We'll talk about that in a minute, David. But let's talk about the cromnibus. We hardly knew ye, I suppose. It's gone before we really got to know it. As you look at some of the numbers that are buried in this thing, and I know that's how you spent your weekend because that's how you roll, what did you see that jumped out at you as far as big pluses or minuses?
Well, you know, I have to say that, like so many reporters at the Capitol, I have been guilty of focusing on the points of contention and the sort of sexy stuff, and not on what actually makes the government tick. So count me as guilty on that. So when I actually looked, you know, at some of these big winners and losers things, I was surprised that there really are some agencies that get big plus ups. You know, Veterans Affairs up 7%, NIH up 20%. You know, I think the fact that the federal employees get a raise is lost on most people who actually cover Congress. And, you know, when we never get asked, what does it mean for real people? And mm-hmm. that makes a real difference. You know, IRS down 3%. That's a lot for an agency that's at the same time being told to do better with, you know, to capture more revenue that's due.
Well, and they're getting the whole Affordable Care Act responsibility added to them this year, too, for the first
right,
time.
Right, right. You know, and obviously the fact that in the end, after all the hewing and crying, there really nothing to do with Obamacare was touched. I guess I sort of understood that. I didn't realize the EPA's staffing levels were being pushed down to levels not seen since the late 1980s. So, you know, most of us, I think, forgot, again, most of us who covered this forgot long ago that this was a comprehensive bill that made all these line-by-line decisions, and we started focusing instead on, you know, campaign finance and Dodd-Frank and a handful of other small things, and really missed that they made some choices here, and they made some choices that to my eye suggest that it really was, you know, what divided government's supposed to look like. There were some choices where Barbara Mikulski, the Senate chairwoman, won some for the Democrats, and others were Hal Rogers, the chairman for the Republicans on the House side, won some for the Republicans. And it was, you know, to sort of state the obvious now that the weekend has passed, all the opposition to this bill came from the two wings, you know, the Elizabeth Warren wing of the Democratic Party and the Ted Cruz wing of the Republican Party. And when, you know, the old saw in Washington is when the two extremes are ticked off, that means they probably found the sweet spot in the middle, which is how it's supposed to work.
So that is a very interesting juxtaposition to me, too, David. And I saw that develop throughout the weekend. And I wonder if we learn a lesson here that I'm a cynical son of a gun, I know. But I saw something here that I thought, maybe this is something to give us some hope. If it's possible now that each side has a wing that can be isolated. And they were able to do it this time around. I mean, all of the hubbub that I saw coming out of the Hill over the weekend was, is Elizabeth Warren going to sink this? It wasn't even so much about Cruz. And in the end, she wasn't able to. And I wonder if that might mean that especially as Boehner and McConnell and Reid and Pelosi get together to try to work to move things forward in the 114th Congress, if they might be able to say to each other, if we can make a deal amongst ourselves, or if we can bring in a handful of our colleagues at the leadership level and hammer this stuff out, we can make progress, we can make a difference, and you'll get a little bit, and I'll get a little bit, and it'll probably work the same way Congress worked in the 50s, 60s, 70s, where everybody got a little bit, enough for them to be able to say, we made it better than it was, it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
You know, I think that is, all of that is exactly true and possible on a relatively small number of big deal issues, mostly having to do with economics. I think it's absolutely possible that kind of sort of new coalition government approach could work on a trade liberalization and a free trade agenda. That essentially Congress could pass a law allowing the president to negotiate trade deals that Congress then couldn't amend. I think it could work on a corporate tax overhaul next year. I think there's really this is a thing where mainstream Republicans and mainstream Democrats really want to get this done, and I think it could even work on a highway bill, a transportation bill. So, yes, it's not going to happen on hot button stuff, but there are a handful of things that it could happen. The big issue, I think, to watch is whether Mitch McConnell decides to try and form his coalition with the mainstream establishment Republicans and some mainstream establishment Democrats, or whether he tries to come up with to find only things that unify, you know, the confrontational and establishment wings of his caucus.
Because the quintessential deal maker that people talk about of the 20th century was President Johnson. And I listened to those Johnson tapes where he's talking to everybody, and he's personally lobbying everybody, the Republican leader, the committee chairs and ranking members. I mean, that was his deal. He was a Senate deal maker before he became vice president and then president. So that's where he's from, and that's in his DNA. But he didn't hesitate at all to talk in a very accommodating and meaningful way to the Republicans in Congress, who really at that time had no power. I mean, the majorities that the Democrats had at that point in time were huge compared to what the Republicans will have in the 114th Congress. And my sense is, I don't know if that's in President Obama's DNA. He just is a different kind of president. But I wonder if that is possible in the environment that we have now, or if maybe each of the chambers will decide we can just do what we'll do and then bring the president along as he chooses to come along, but maybe include the Democratic leaders at the same time to get things done, to actually bring bills to the president's desk.
It would be a remarkable change of strategy if for the president to get personally involved like that. Many people who have known him for a long time says he has the potential to be charming and persuasive. That has not been the approach he's taken with Congress in the first 6 years. So probably if he started it, it would be so surprising to some of the people that they'd say, wow.
Wonder if it was really him.
Yeah, exactly. But, generally he's been pretty hands-off. He's got some new legislative affairs people working for him now who are doing some of the sort of real old-school stuff, like making sure that the president's Kennedy Center box is filled by members of Congress who have done the president a favor or could do the president a favor when the president himself doesn't want to use it. Little things like that that go a long way to stroke members of Congress's egos and can make the difference in a tight set of negotiations.
We talked about how Dennis McDonough was on the Hill to whip vote whip votes on Thursday on the Democratic side, and by all accounts, I mean the sources that I here talked to on the Hill said he did a good job. He was very effective, and not in put the hammer down kind of way. He really worked with members and listened to them, and yet made the case to this is why you should support this. And there again, another possible point of hope that if it's not the president's bag, that he has somebody there who's capable of doing it.
That's true. Now, unfortunately, the bag is got fewer goodies in it than before. I mean, Kennedy Center box seats are, that can get you a little bit of goodwill. This is not, obviously, and to bring this back to the cromnimus and appropriations, this is not like the olden days where a president could get a highway widened or a bridge built or a tunnel started. The era of that kind of log rolling is long past. So many people that I talked to in the last few days who were veterans of these budget wars and appropriations wars said if there were just a few dozen little goodies in this bill for individual districts and states, there would have been a lot less drama.
David Hawkins is senior editor at Roll Call. I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation that you're following the confirmation parade that's going on. One confirmation that won't happen that we thought might is the confirmation of the administrator of Social Security, Carolyn Colvin. Her nomination vote was pulled off the floor by Senator Reid. What is that all about, and what does that mean for her nomination? In general, that's not good.
In general, that is not good. These nominees, as anybody who knows sort of their civics might remember, once the Congress is over, no matter how far you've gotten in the process, you got to start all over again. And so Ms. Colvin will have to start all over again in January going through the process if she wants to keep her nomination alive, which we think she does. But the good news is that as far as our reporters understand it, she was pulled off the floor because essentially Harry Reid decided he was out of time, and under the rules, these nominees have different amounts of time that they can be debated before a vote. And Social Security Administrator is considered enough of an important job. It's actually considered a cabinet-level job for the purpose of the Senate rules. So the Republicans could have kept that debate going for 30 hours.
Oh, dear.
Whereas
that's like the rest of this whole week.
Other ones, yep, that's a whole week. Whereas most of these other ones, you know, Anthony Blinken to be Deputy Secretary of State, 8 hours. The woman, Sarah Saldana, who's the prosecutor in Dallas, who's going to be head of immigration at Homeland Security, 8 hours. So Colvin, 30 hours. And Harry Reid essentially did the math and realized he was at the end of his there was only so much he could get done, and he could essentially get all the other 23 done, but not her. And if he tried to do her, a bunch of maybe a dozen others would have to fall by the wayside.
Mm. So it's a procedural issue and not an issue about him or the White House being worried that the nomination was going to collapse.
That's my understanding. Is that there are a couple of Republicans who don't like her, but certainly not enough to make this a problem.
All right. So we can expect to see that nomination back sometime in the 114th Congress.
If that's what she wants.
And she'll continue as the acting administrator. She's not up against her time limit on that, I don't think. So.
I don't believe so.
So she can continue there. All right. Why are they even still here? I thought they were going to do the NDAA and then and the Cromnibus, and then I thought they were gone.
No, there are two more really important things that they got to get done. One is the so-called tax extenders bill, which at this point, 2 weeks before Christmas, 2 weeks, 3 weeks before the end of the year, is hardly an extender bill. It essentially reaches back to January 1st and reimposes tax breaks for all of 2013, and then they'll end again at the end of the year. Harry Reid is yet to file the paperwork to get the debate on that started. There are some Republicans and some liberal Democrats who are going to oppose that. It could take a couple of days. And then the other thing he wants to get done is terrorism risk insurance, essentially making the federal government a backstop to private insurance in the case of a terrorist attack. Again, the same two wings, the liberal Democrats and the conservative Republicans, opposed to that one. So the notion is he's going to keep the Senate in for much of the week to get as many of these nominees through as possible. And then when he figures he's got all of them done, he will time it so that the get-out-of-town votes are on those two things that corporate America wants so much.
It's amazing. The choreography is striking.
It takes a lot of work you don't do math to the power of 10. You got to do time and minute math, which people like you in the radio business know well. But Harry Reid's got to know about, exactly how many hours in the day and how many hours everything's going to take. And then as we saw on Friday night, you think you've got a deal and one senator can still occasionally blow it up.